Leslie Caron, Stacey Keach, and Elizabeth McGovern in The Plutocrat, based on the novel by Booth Tarkington, adapted for radio by Michael Hastings. The Plutocrat, Part 1, Outward Bound.
The John Golden Theater, New York, 1926.
Finally, Alice, we shed the past. There is no going back.
Oh, Henry!
We race into the future with the bounty of our past.
Whatever our shortcomings.
We have staked our cause together. If our two primal impulses are sex and greed, so be it. I am in love with you. I am in love with the intoxicating sex of you. My ex-wife can go hang.
And I, for my part, I am bewitched by the greed you have for the commercial life. The ends to which you will go to succeed. So what if my father disowns me?
It is our amoral fate.
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Alice.
Forever.
The Pastoral Scene was my first play on Broadway the winter of 1926. Maybe it didn't have the depth of O'Neill, but it had gained favor with critics. They found a kind of new realism in the way my vile characters run roughshod. This is a young playwright who knows everything about sex, love, and greed, the critics shouted. As these are things I know absolutely nothing about, I hardly recognize myself. So, I've decided to seek out some of these characters I write so well about but have never met. I've taken a 12-day voyage on the liner SS Dumvir. We sail from New York to Algiers. It is a cold January, 1926. I have never left America before. Two days out at sea, and the good old boys in the smoking room drink themselves stiff and quarrel over cards.
All right.
Yes, you've guessed it. The cigars and the tall stories about the woman who didn't get away. Financiers and stockholders braying their hootenanny best. The leader, the clumsiest and loudest, was Mr. Earl Tinker from the Midwest. And it was my privilege to share a table with him and his dreadful family for the rest of the voyage. Then I met someone of my own generation, George Macklin, the young poet who had developed something of a reputation.
Yes, I'm a poet.
I'm a playwright.
We might have something in common.
There was one other on board. A tall, exquisite woman whom I hardly dared look at.
Good evening. I'm Aurélie Saint-Denis de Montmoreau, and this is my son, Hyacinthe, who's returning.
She walked with a kind of floating grace and kept very much to herself. The good old boys invent tales about this mysterious creature.
T.H. Smith, ma'am, president of the GLW.
Ah, good evening. I'm Aurélie Saint-Denis de Montmoreau.
I think about her. You can't help it. She's so magnetic, yet unapproachable.
Madame de Montmoreau, Earl Tinker's my name, chairman and senior godperson of the Illinois Union Paper and Wrapping Company.
Good evening.
Sometimes I wait for her on the upper deck, and I move to stand where her shadow falls. I breathe in the musky French perfume she wears. She doesn't know I'm there.
I see that French woman with a French accent and that silly-looking French son of hers. Now, what do you suppose she is? Raise you there.
Too damn nosy in here to be a whore.
She dresses too damn foreign for Fifth Avenue. I'm out.
I'm told she married some plantation colonel down south. When he died, she was left cotton rich.
Mm-hmm. Too rich for me. I'm out, too.
She don't act rich. She don't spend a dime, but a penny will do. Cole.
I'll double the pot, boys.
She couldn't be a fortune hunting madame with all those airs and graces she got. You notice how she never speaks to a fellow no matter how hard he tries. She has absolutely no interest in other first-class men. Keep your damn pot.
Well, she has an open window on the promenade deck. Now, I passed there last night, and I swear I heard talk. I'm out.
What'd you hear?
I swear I heard this man's voice, and then this woman's voice.
Mind you,
far too indelicate for me to repeat.
Repeat?
Yeah, come on.
I never repeat these words in dignified company.
Well, then you're perfectly at liberty round this table. So repeat.
I clearly heard the woman speak.
But what did she say?
She made kind of a foreign sound, you know, like foreign words you hear. He sits at our table, so I should know her voice.
Then what did he say?
I cannot. Decency forbids me, sir.
Oh, T.H., it does no such thing.
I heard.
Then what did he say?
I heard him say, "Madam, will you stop that mad parrot squawking and put another cushion under your bottom?"
Hey, that is the most vile stuff. This is a poker game, T.H. I don't believe a word of it. You heard no such damn thing. I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I am, really?
These damn lies and fantasies. You want to play cards or not? You got two pair to beat here.
Only to get so excited.
Well, it's damn lies, you know. It's all lies. We're respectable grown married men, sir.
Hey, oh, please.
Damn lies. I never heard such preposterous nonsense.
Tico, will you stop getting so righteous?
Righteous, my eye. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's mendacity.
Madame, you are watching the men play poker.
I'm watching my husband. That's my husband there, the palooka with the red face. He's getting so mad. He's shouting at T.H. Smith now. I don't know why. Maybe he's losing.
Your husband?
That's my husband, Earl Tinker. I'm Mrs. Tinker.
And who is this T.H. Smith?
The round, fat one with the cigar. That's T.H. Smith. He's president of the GL&W. You must have heard of the GL&W.
I don't think so.
There is nothing bigger than the GL&W, I promise you. T.H. Smith is the man my husband is shouting at. The trouble with T.H. is that he's always shooting a line about something.
Yeah. What were you doing? Look at H. Never, never have I heard such filthy nonsense.
You love filthy nonsense.
Yeah, truthful filthy nonsense, yeah, but not this kind of sheer dirt. Listen, I like you, gents. I really do, but this is no damn way to play poker. And to hell with you and your bogus lying dog fantasies about some woman because she's from foreign parts or something. But not one of you has exchanged two words with her. Shame on you. Damn it, shame.
Earl, will you stop shouting?
So if you will excuse me, gents, deal me out. I'm playing no more cards.
Oh. What have you done now, T.H.?
Now just look at my husband. All red and ranting. He's walked away from the table. He's had some raging quarrel with T.H. Smith. Now, dear, and who are you then?
I'm Madame Saint-Denis de Montmoreau.
Let me tell you, I'm from Illinois and I can't possibly call you that.
Aurélie, then.
Okay, Aurélie. And everybody calls me honey.
The men who play poker with your husband, you know them?
I don't know them, but I can tell you who they are. Just business acquaintances.
Really?
Well, yes. The tall one is Charlie Waxtell of Mutual Protective Trust. You've heard of Mutual Protective Trust?
No. And your husband is Earl Tinker?
He's the tall lug shouting at everyone. Yes. Earl is chairman of the Illinois Union Paper Company. Newspaper print to lavatory paper, if you'll pardon the expression. He sells any kind of paper you want.
All married?
Oh, very married. I mean, nobody is more married than my husband, Earl. And I do know the reputation of Mr. T.H. Smith. He has a name for uncouth stories. No doubt, that is just what he and Earl have been scrapping over. If there's one thing my husband cannot abide, it is uncouth stories. And believe me, that T.H. is notorious for bad-mouthing women. My husband Earl would not lay eyes on another woman, let alone hear one word of bad mouth. And now, what do you do, Orly?
Oh, I'm such a sad story. It's just not worth me starting.
You a widow?
Alas, yes.
Returning to Europe?
My beloved Paris.
And you're still interested in men. My me. I gave them up the moment my daughter Libby was born.
How can you know men still interest me?
Still young and so pretty. My dear.
Well, If you'll excuse me, I must change for supper.
Dan.
May I play the coach with you?
No.
Explain, please.
I don't like you.
Have I offended you in some way?
No, but that isn't very important. I don't like people.
Well, what must I do to do the coach with you?
You have to be a slave.
I am Pratt person.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, you're older than me, aren't you?
I hope so.
What have you got against me?
I don't like the brightly colored clothes you wear. I think you've let your hair grow in an unmanly style. You look like a Chiricahua Indian. You don't wear proper shoes. You wear kind of Aladdin-a-lamp pumps with curly toes. And you've got a ring in your ear, for God's sake. What's that for?
My mother is French, but she has family in Algiers. She likes to dress me in North African style.
Your mother is that French lady who walks around with her nose in the air.
You're a rude person.
I kick folk under the table. I bite. And sometimes I feel the need to punch people in the throat. But I never harm slaves.
Oh, suddenly I have overwhelming urge to become a complete slave.
Very wise decision.
I am Yassin Momoro.
Olivia Tinker from Illinois.
I am slave.
You throw first.
Early call for dinner tonight. Early call. Captain will make his welcome speech. Thank you.
Oh, Stuart, I don't know what's happened to my cabin key. I'd like a spare one, just as soon as you can, please.
Certainly, madame. Early call for dinner tonight. Early call.
Wow. Will you look at this on the dining room chart?
Yeah, what is it, T.H.?
Well, somebody's changed the dining tables around. Suddenly the French madame and her teenage son aren't on my table. She's been moved to the center of the room. I have a George Macklin sat beside me.
Oh, yes.
Who's George Macklin?
Well, I believe he is a poet with a large private income.
Poet with a large income is a contradiction in terms, Doc. Is he a poker player?
A poet who plays poker may also be a problem, T.H.
Like a gentle piece of leather.
Excuse me?
The calm sea out there.
You startled me.
You didn't see me standing here.
No, I didn't.
And just waiting there, saying nothing.
I really don't follow you, ma'am.
Is there some strange pleasure you get from standing on my shadow when my back is turned away?
No.
You'd rather speak to me.
Yes, ma'am.
But something holds you back.
I was hoping you hadn't noticed.
Oh, but I had. Each time.
I apologize.
Well, then, I am Aurélie.
Lawrence Ogle, ma'am. I am a playwright.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Ma'am, if you'll excuse me.
Well, don't run off.
I think the movement of the ship has done something to my...
And I had no control, you know? She was right. It was a perfectly calm sea. Some folk get sick in raging storms. Maybe all I need is a perfectly calm sea to get me going.
Oh, man.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Is there a problem here?
Oh, no, no. The young gentleman here has returned his breakfast to the ocean.
My name is Waxel. Charlie Waxel, in short.
Oh, Mr. Waxel.
I'm T.H. Smith, G.L. and all.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, ma'am. Doc Taylor, National Medicine Company.
Doctor?
Yeah, we wondered, ma'am, if you'd consider joining us for the morning coits on top deck.
Oh, well, thank you so much, monsieur, but excuse me. Outdoor sports events are beyond me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, let's take ourselves to the card saloon and try out a little blackjack.
Yeah, we should do that. Oh,
you're very kind, but I'm not against a little round of patience in the card saloon, but, oh, I cannot play blackjack.
Oh, well, I can teach you.
Thank you so much.
What are you reading?
Poetry.
Whatever for?
I write it.
After having to study it at college, nobody actually wants to write it.
I've written 2 thin books and won a small prize.
I thought you were interesting.
So did I.
But you aren't. I suppose you only want to talk to me because my father is Earl Tinker from Illinois. Well, hard bucks. What table are you at?
T.H. Smith and Charlie Waxtel.
Well, don't tell T.H. you're a poet, or he'll have you moved. If you were at our table, I'd have you moved. Your poems rhyme. Well, they ought not to. Nobody's rhyme these days. It's all dashes and dots.
Look, I don't want to meet your father, and I certainly didn't invite you to whack me off about my art. You're quite a nasty girl, young lady.
I'm glad we know where we stand.
Those friends of yours asked me to play cards with them this morning.
Well, they'd prefer to be here in your cabin.
I was watching you play blackjack with them the other day.
Yeah?
Never seen you lose.
Well, sir, I play to win.
You played 20-card blackjack.
I don't know what you mean.
You remember the high cards. You never play on the low numbers.
Is that so?
It raises your luck against the dealer by 40%.
Ah, what else you notice?
You never draw on anything above 13. That gives you an extra 15% against the dealer.
So then, what are the odds when I sit down to play?
You have a 55% chance against the dealer of 45.
I swear, I never knew.
I knew.
Orlie.
The moment I saw you play, I said, you have instinct. Oh, alas, this is something I cannot afford.
No, look. Are we going to screw around in the bed, or are we going to admire my cards?
Monsieur Tinker.
Don't you think you could call me Earl now that we've gotten to know one another?
Oh, I couldn't possibly call you Earl. You're a married man.
Well, can I call you Aurelie?
I much prefer to be formal.
You know, you French ladies just beat the hell out of me. I'm putting cushions under your posterior. I'm stoking the fires of desire. And all I'm allowed to do is call you Madame de Mummero? That's hard on a guy from Illinois.
My friend, cards are so much more complicated.
George! What are you staring at?
The French beauty who caused you to puke your guts out this morning.
I think that's an exaggeration.
I see a kind of Hellenic stillness. The way her hair glints with a metallic hue. Her smooth shoulders opaque with silver and pearl lacework. Her neck is poised like a heron waiting to dive for a deathly strike at a small fish. I see her as the Nike of Samothrace. Who's the wilting drip with the mad turban clinging onto her?
Her son.
Well, he can't decide if he's Sinbad or an ice cream sundae. You were sick with love this morning, weren't you?
I was not.
I don't blame you.
I'd rather you found someone else.
Like who?
Well, there's the daughter of the Tinker family. They're on my table.
Her?
Nice girl. Good table manners.
She is a barrel of poison. She hates everyone.
Really? Don't think I noticed. And she and her family share my table.
The question is, who shares table with the Hellenic beauty?
Rough seas, Madame de Mummero.
Good evening. Shall we order?
Oh, well, you know, I was just about to call our waiter over. And my mind was distracted. I was looking around for my friend, Earl Tinker. You know Earl from Illinois?
Perhaps, en passant.
Well, Earl just loves a plateful of supper. And do you know, I don't think he's at his table. I think the sea has gotten to him.
How interesting.
Oh, no. No. Earl's not interesting. Earl's a rough diamond. It's you, madame. You are interesting.
You know, my Earl is never ill. The constitution of an ox. But the moment he stepped on deck, he wobbled. He turned to me, and he said, honey, I ain't gonna eat my greens tonight. He always calls his supper his greens. It's way back from where he comes from. His daddy was a sharecropper. And
you don't want to hear about daddy's greens, do you?
Not exactly.
You want to hear about art and books and paintings. Because deep down, you're a snob.
Thank you very much.
Ow, you kicked me.
Think nothing of it.
You know, Olivia, I've heard so much about you. And almost everything is true.
Should I be flattered?
Ow! Don't do that.
Now that didn't hurt. I'm trying very hard not to maim you.
Try harder, will you, next time? Ow!
Now, when my Earl decides to lie down, it is something very unusual. You go on ahead to the dining room, Earl said. I feel like a bear which has swallowed an alligator.
Forgive me for asking. Whenever my mother speaks, you look away across the room.
I intend no disrespect to your... I noticed a couple of people I know quite well. Suddenly they've left their table.
You were looking at that table over there where the French madame sits.
I was not.
Everybody looks at her. She's mysterious. And when she's suddenly not there...
How do you know, anyway?
I watch you.
Let me tell you how my husband Earl made his first fortune.
Will you excuse me? I'm sorry.
My young friend, what a surprise. Yes? You just wanted to know if I was suddenly taken ill like the others on board. And you thought you'd at least show your concern?
Yes.
Thank you, indeed. But I'm just fine, a little tired. Anyway, I have my son, Yassin, to keep me company, and he will see that I get a good sleep.
The last thing I wanted to do was disturb you.
Good night, Laurence.
Now, where do you think I'm going? Now that half the ship is queasy, I'm going to have a drink in the bar with that ice cream turban creature with the preposterous name. And I insist you join us.
I'll have a drink with you. But I assure you, the ice cream turban is down below in his mother's cabin.
Lawrence, are you up for a drink or not?
Why, yes. All right.
Oh, there you both are. What alcohol would you like to drink? Oh, I do not drink. I drink fruit cocktail. You like the double gin?
Hello, Miss Sand.
Oh, my God. Good morning.
I tried. Lord knows I tried, but I could not stir your daddy this morning. He was a sack of snoring potatoes.
Charades on lower deck, hopscotch on middle deck, tombola in the smoking lounge, and a poet, Mr. Macklin, is reading his poems in the library.
I'll be sure to ask the steward to take him his breakfast. Earl never goes out of the house without
his... I know which I'll choose.
Oh, which is that?
I'll do nothing.
It's a little indolent.
It's better than chasing my father around the ship with breakfast trays.
Libby, don't talk like that.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Would my little French lady like to do something silly on the below deck? Like hopscotch?
Hopscotch is not a priority on my morning walk around the ship.
I'm just kidding. You know, I ask myself why you hit on me rather than the good old boys. I mean, there's Charlie Waxtell and T.H., and they're so flush with money.
They're all married.
So am I.
True. But you're the least married person on board. You're a free spirit.
I am.
Not bound by earth.
Well, I never heard it described like that.
Beneath all this shout and bluster you do, there is a fine thing. We are kindred beings.
If you say so. But you know, we don't look as if we're cut out to be. I mean, look at me. You can hear me holler and hoot all the way from Illinois. Well, you are the elegant French Madame de Whatnot, and everybody scrapes and curtsies to you. I mean, if folks saw us out and about, they wouldn't suspect a thing.
And that is how it should be.
How so?
Oh, we understand each other.
Maybe.
Beneath the skin, you tremble. You do not have the millions you pretend. You dare not drop the disguise. You fill your hours with nefarious love affairs. And your wife knows nothing.
Mrs. Tinker must never know anything about what we do. Mrs. Tinker is my anchor in a storm-racked world. And anyway, are you better than me?
Oh, I'm just a poor French widow. I have my son to educate. I want love from the strongest man I can find.
You want something, all right. But I'm not sure you've let me in on the deal.
My love, there are cushions over there on the settee. Bring them over here. We will be so much more comfortable.
My next poem is called The Sea. It is set in the Imagist vein.
Oh, my God.
The pavilion of waves. The embarkation of gulls. The accumulation of clouds. The consideration of dolphins.
Consideration of dolphins?
Nike,
you look uneasy, T.H.
I'm worried about the business of writing poetry. I'm thinking of an insurance contract. Now, I'd insure a poet against losing his rhyming couplets, but never take him on for this modernist stuff.
Shadows on the porpoise. The incitement of the horizon, the bicycling of the moon.
You can't broker stuff which doesn't rhyme.
If Mr. T.H. Smith doesn't mind, I haven't finished reading this particular poem.
Sorry.
Flowers of Sinbad, sew pearls on her seabed. Cushions of seaweed, shoes of coral.
Jewel
in her chest.
You stand so close behind me, you're almost on top of my shadow.
I'm so sorry.
Do you think I don't notice you there?
I'm ashamed.
Oh, but why?
I cannot express my feelings.
Oh, but you are the playwright, no? And you have this successful play on Broadway?
That doesn't unlock my tongue.
Mm. Young man.
Please don't patronize.
What is it you want?
It doesn't matter where you are in a room. I'm constantly turning to look at you.
Yes, I know.
How?
Oh, I can feel your gaze. It touches my neck and my arms.
But you never look up.
Oh, dear young man, what is there between us? Some 20 years or so? Think.
And then last night I thought I saw you with that Earl Tinker. You were stood for a moment in the darkness, then some small light flared, and I saw your face light up.
Good heavens. The gentleman borrowed a pack of matches to light a cigar. I wasn't talking to him.
Oh, I'm very relieved. You see, I know him. He's a barbarian. He's of a kind of uncouthness I cannot associate with you.
And you were jealous of what you call a barbarian?
I could not believe you had anything in common with such a gross type of American.
You are absolutely right.
So,
I should spend all my time with you discussing plays and theater?
I am in love with you. It is like a death. I feel I am drowning here.
Laurence, please don't start dying for love. There are so many more important things to do. And on board ship, when we're all thrown together, mad moments occur, but...
Sometimes, when I look at you in a room, you change color. Oh, you don't look at me, but a redness spreads across your neck.
You learn one day that is not a sign of an older woman blushing.
What, then, is it?
I think you've said enough for today, Monsieur Laurence.
The wind has picked up. Let's sit side by side on the long chairs. We'll cover ourselves with the rugs. I will just share the air with you, and I promise not to open my mouth once.
I will keep you to that.
When I get to that Swanee shore.
What's going on?
My father drank a bottle of brandy and climbed on the piano. He sang every song he knew and then he fell off the piano. Doc Taylor is trying to revive him.
Better get him down to his cabin.
I will not.
But Olivia...
That's Mother's job. I won't touch him.
Oh, okay, Earl. Come on. Wake up. Wake up, Earl.
Just get
Earl,
off
will you wake
hey,
up?
Will you get me out of here? Keep out the darkness. Where's the door to the bank? Damn piano. I put the piano on my tab. When I became chairman of the Illinois Paper Company and Associated Products, I realized what a mud I'd been. When you reach the top of the pile, it's the view that counts. You can buy the pyramids and Westminster Bridges for sale. And as for the Eiffel Tower...
No.
I saw a poster once which said, unknown banker buys the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's a big...
What's so funny about that? It's better than the dark. Get the dark out of here.
Harold,
stop the dark!
I've got to do something. He'll throw himself over.
What are you going to do?
I'll get Mrs. Tinker.
So dark. God, light it up. The dark's the very devil.
Mrs. Tinker, wake up, ma'am, please. Your husband's gone berserk.
Gone berserk? Sir, my husband has been berserk most of his life.
I'll try to find him.
Mr. Tinker! Mr. Tinker!
Sons.
Oh, sorry. The boat is sinking. There is a disaster and the ship is on flames.
What are you doing out this late?
Oh, it's not done to second-class people and do the jig with them. Oh,
have you seen Mr. Tinker? You know, the big Mr. Tinker.
No, never. I never see Mr. Tinker. I always take the look the other way. Why, please?
Never mind. Excuse me.
Mr. Tinker! Where are you? Are you all right? Mr. Tinker! Oh. Where are you? Mr. Tinker! Earl! Earl!
Good heavens, Laurence, are you all right?
Yes, of course.
Something is wrong?
No, honestly. I often stand outside your cabin door like this after a good sprint right round the ship.
Laurence.
I was looking for someone. I thought he was about to do himself some harm, throw himself overboard or something silly like that.
Who?
Mr. Tinker. You know, the barbarian.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure his wife's found him by now.
Yeah, I heard some shouting, but I was so busy working with my son Hyacinthe over his lessons. It didn't occur to me.
Hyacinthe?
Yes, he's in here with me now. We work together on his basic English.
He's in there with you now?
Oh, yes. That is why you'll forgive me for not asking you in. It's so important we get on with our studies. Don't you agree?
Of course.
Well, good night, young friend.
Night.
Earl Tinker, where are you? You come out right now and stop hiding. Mrs. Honeykins here, and I know just how to get you well again. Earl? Where are you, Earl? This is Honeykins. Earl? Earl?
The sea is magnificent.
Good morning.
Uninsurable, but magnificent.
Are you quite sure there isn't a contract you can work the sea into, Mr. Smith?
The sea is a pavilion of waves.
Well, I didn't know you could be so poetic.
Well, I may surprise you. I feel we shall soon be seeing a consideration of dolphins out there.
Oh, and such a poet.
Well, I do have the occasional urge, you know, a business always intrudes.
And possibly with a little bit of help from Monsieur Georges Maclean's muse.
Oh, I see. You found me out.
I think I have, Monsieur Smith.
Oh, call me T.H.
Oh, no, Monsieur. I couldn't possibly get so intimate.
Well, I hear a little different from my neck of the woods. I hear you're not averse to a little intimacy with the right fellow.
I don't think I understand you.
The first night on board, I passed your cabin window, and I swore I overheard a few inappropriate thoughts about where to place cushions.
Monsieur Smith, what would it do to your lady wife if I suddenly tore my dress and screamed and pointed my finger at you and the stewards came running up?
Excuse me, I...
Yes. I'm going to share your rug with you for a moment. Oh, Laurence, I want to apologize to you.
Good morning.
Last night, I told you a lie. I told you I was with my son. Since then, I've spoken to Yacinthe, and he tells me you met him in the corridor. Well, you see, I'm so taken with you, Laurence. I must hold on to my own emotions.
There was somebody else in your cabin?
Oh, I swear, there was not. But I can't just ask you in my cabin at midnight. It is unseemly. I'm a woman. And, well, I am afraid...
Of me?
Yes. I was once engaged to a French officer. Oh, we were so young. He was like you, and I fell too hard. His family disapproved of me. I've always regretted letting him go. Sometimes I know you're near me. What is it you do? Stand in my shadow? And you know, my young friend, my heart smiles. Of course, I won't show you this emotion, but it is there. So, whatever you thought I was hiding...
You mean there is hope?
Let us be sensible first. I think you should accompany me, or in an appropriate manner, and you will charm me. And when we get to Algiers, I can show you places you haven't imagined. The drive up to the mountains, the wadi where the earth stops, and the great desert of the Sahara begins. Well, isn't that enough for the time being, my young friend?
Enough. Thank you.
And anyway, you are an upright young man, almost an American Puritan. You have a certain formality. You're not going to shove me against a wall and do foul things to me.
Certainly not.
Well, let us have an understanding. Let us grasp the moment day by day. If there is love, well then, why should we ignore it? If it is just a passing infatuation, we will both tire of it quickly. You know, I'm old enough to be your mother. But I've always said, steal the day now. I have always believed everything is life, and nothing is death.
Of course I accept. I have no choice.
Oh, what an ungrateful child you are. Ah, Laurence. There was nobody else in my cabin last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, as your captain, I want to welcome you all to our first sight of land as we pass the Azores on our starboard side. There will be a fancy dress dance the night before we pass through the Straits of Gibraltar. And your stewards have collected a variety of disguises from our ship's locker. A number of eminent guests on board have already chosen their disguises. Mr. Laurence Ogle has accepted a Japanese war mask, and Mr. T.H. Smith has agreed to be the front half of a donkey, and Mr. Earl Tinker, the man in the iron mask. Everyone will be offered a selection of outfits from Sinbad the Sailor to Little Miss Muffet. And on behalf of the crew, a continuing happy voyage to one and all.
On account of my Algerian blood, I would ordain to be Sinbad.
Oh, really? I thought you'd go for Little Miss Muffet.
Excuse?
Anyway, I've got my eye on the Medusa wig. There's something rewarding about being Medusa for a night.
You know, I see myself as Joan of Arc. How about you, Mr. Macklin?
Well, I'm quite interested in the back half of the donkey. I think I can do quite a bit of damage from the rear, and without any insurance whatsoever.
Yeah. When I was a boy, I made my first pile of dough with a rabbit. I told a boy that he could share my rabbit if he paid half what the rabbit cost. And then I told eight other boys the same thing. Well, later, when they came round, I told them that the rabbit had passed away, and their money helped pay the funeral. And then I moved into guinea pigs.
A complete lie.
No, word of honor.
Yacinthe, how are your lessons coming along?
What lessons?
What schoolwork you're preparing. All the time you spend with your mother.
She say that?
Well, yes.
Well, then, that's what I do.
You don't sound exactly convinced.
I explain. You see, if my mother says that, then it is true. Everything she says is true at some time or another. You understand, please?
Ah, I think I do.
When I was 15, my family's estates were confiscated. We were bankrupt. I was forced to marry a sexual pervert. He was a Russian colonel in the Tsar's cavalry. My mother took in washing and sewing to make ends meet. Because he received no dowry, my husband made me agree to certain sordid acts in a bedroom. One night I escaped from the house and stayed with gypsies.
I don't believe a word of it.
All right. I was kidnapped by a Turkish circus when I was 12. In exchange for certain favors, an ugly old woman taught me the skills of the trapeze, and to pay for my keep...
Well, that's even less believable.
Oh, listen, it is very difficult to get you to understand where I come from. There was the drunken Mississippi son of a great mansion. One night, he took off with all my possessions, my son's heirlooms, and he didn't own the mansion house. It was all a plot to get me into his bed. Then the real owners walked in, and I was arrested and thrown into jail.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, Monsieur Tinker, any one of those events could have occurred. Indeed, they have occurred. Well, not necessarily in that order or to me, but certainly to my friends.
You have so many stories, you probably can't remember the real one.
All you need to know is that I have suffered great poverty, misery, and humiliation. And I am determined not to visit all that on my son.
He's an unusual-looking boy.
Oh, he has desert blood in him. I was on a camel train in the Sahara, and a horde of Arab princes descended on the wadi, where we had stopped for water.
Oh, stop right there. Thank you.
Yes, I forgot. You do not like my stories.
May I be so bold as to ask what you see in me?
If you move a little closer, I will tell you, Monsieur Tinker from Illinois.
I hate to interrupt you, gents, but have you seen my husband, Mr. Earl Tinker, Mr. Ogle?
No.
Mr. Macklin, the fine poet, sir?
No, ma'am.
Well, I am cross. I have the steward prepare a lukewarm bath of carbonate of ammonia. Mr. Tinker has a very irritable bowel, and suddenly he's vanished again. If he's gone down to the steward's room, no doubt he's cleaning them out of their pennies with his poker play. And it just ain't right, I say. It just ain't right.
I wonder if you've noticed a strange thing on board.
What's that, George?
Whenever I am at dinner, or when we have all moved to the lounge for brandies, I always look for that Tinker man and your French lady madame friend. And invariably, I see one. But I never ever see them both in a room at the same time. Is there some kind of mutual antipathy I know nothing about? Can they not stand to be in the same place together?
Never noticed.
But she must have said something about it.
To me?
Why not? You've become inseparable these past few days. On top deck, in the bar.
I assure you, it is not what you think it is.
Oh, go on then, surprise me.
We are worlds apart. I'm sorry to say.
She's stringing you along?
That's a very ugly interpretation. So I went to my muster station to meet Madame Momereau. She was late.
Why are you late?
But I'm always late.
Do you know how long I've been waiting?
Well, my dear, the clock isn't the only way to keep time. Sometimes other moments become more pressing.
I'm very jealous of those moments.
Well, anyway, here I am. And I'm yours for the afternoon. We'll go everywhere together. We'll be seen by everyone. And people will wonder, what on earth have they got so much to talk about?
Forgive me.
Darling boy.
I just so desperately wish it was more.
Isn't it enough to know that I spend more time with you than with any other soul on board, with the exception of my son?
You know what I mean.
What would you have for one night in my arms? A glimpse of a woman's body now turning to dust. See all the fractures and sags where nature does her worst. Oh, I assure you, you are much better off looking at those agonizing corsets and stays. At least they give you an illusion of what was.
Everything you say, I revolt against.
Oh, let me become young again beside you. Let me pretend I have that perfect skin again with not a mark. And I do not have to wear gloves to hide the brown spots. Or worry myself. Oh, yes, I'm meeting my young playwright. Where do I keep the wrinkle cream? When you take my hand, I hold on to it and feel the strong skin. And I like to believe it is mine.
Shall we promenade with the others, madame?
Oh, why not, monsieur?
I'm so worried about your daddy. After he fell off the piano singing, after he drunk all that brandy and sang, you know, his throat has turned bright red.
I've never looked.
Well, I'm putting him to bed early. I'm giving him syrup and expectorant of colt's foot for his throat.
God's sake, Mama, he's a grown man. He can drink and sing if he wants.
Then if I had a sniff of belladonna, I'd also add that to his syrup. Not too much belladonna.
If I were you, I'd pour a whole damn bottle of it down his neck.
Lippy!
I hate the way you nurse him back to you. Where is my husband, Earl? Have you seen Earl? And this for his feet, and that for his nerves, and this for his throat. Mama, he comes back to you when there's nowhere else for him to stay out. Don't you know that?
He's my Earl.
And you fuss and you molly.
Your daddy, too.
One day you ought to just stop it. Let him know you won't be there when he crawls back in after his cards and his booze.
I couldn't do that to him.
You'd soon find out how much he cares for all that love you give him.
Stop that!
No.
You have respect for me.
No.
Then I'll hit you. I don't mean to hit you, but I'll surely hit you.
I won't stop.
What have you got to say now?
I'd like some of that love.
Monsieur Tinker?
Over here.
Oh, it is so dark. I almost lost my way.
I asked you to meet me here because, things were on my mind.
What is it you cannot say to me in my own cabin?
I feel concerned about the presence of that young New Yorker, the writer man.
But why?
Well, everybody says he sees you together and you are never apart.
Oh, he's just a boy.
He is not.
He has a certain fixation for me, but I laugh at him and then we talk about Broadway.
Are you doing things with him?
I don't understand.
Are you doing things with him with cushions?
Monsieur Tinker, how could you think such a thing?
Well, he's young and sassy and full of beans.
He's an artist who thinks only about words.
I know about that type. That's just a smokescreen, madam.
Have you thought what a good smokescreen this young man is for us?
No.
Well, then.
Sometimes, madame, a man needs reassurance.
And how can I give you that?
Well, for example, that is why I brought you down here. No one can see us. It's as private as your own cabin.
But people can walk by. Suppose the boiler man walks by.
Well, maybe that adds a touch of spice, like a kind of risk. You like your risk, madame. Don't kid me.
What risk?
Do it now.
I am shocked.
Right here, right up against the wall.
Oh, Monsieur Tinker.
You go for me instead of that phony young scribbler. You prove to me that you'd do it anywhere.
Oh, against the wall where the boiler man walks by?
To hell with the boiler man.
Oh, Monsieur Tinker, a lady does not do it against the wall.
Madame, if you don't do it right now, I will remain suspicious of you and that young fella. That is my last word.
Oh, but I have a floor-length skirt.
Fine.
And I have a long undergarment beneath the skirt.
Oh, pleased to hear it.
And I wear camisole knickers, which are also long and tied with pink satin bows at my knees.
That sounds highly delightful.
Oh, monsieur. Monsieur, please.
Yeah?
Oh, I am near to faint with dismay.
You are?
Oh, so, Monsieur Tinker, which side of the corridor would Monsieur the Boilerman like me to arrange myself against?
That is the fourth dance you've had with that smelly French woman.
That is her perfume, Olivia.
It smells like goat's cheese.
It comes from Paris, Olivia.
I don't care.
Madame de Montmoreau says I'm a very fine dancer.
Well, you are not. You look like a penguin out there.
Thank you very kindly.
What, with that Japanese war mask on your face, you look like a... I don't know what you look like, but it's awful.
One thing everyone on this ship can rely on is your encouraging voice.
And who does she think she is in that with a snake around her neck?
She is Cleopatra, and that is her asp.
Monsieur the Samurai Warrior, will you dance again?
Enchanté, madame.
Well, I hope that asp stings her in the ass.
Would you please excuse me, Joan of Arc?
Is the man in the iron mask having trouble with his bronchitis, dear? Because I have to... Earl, Earl! Where are you going, Earl? Earl, come back. Earl, come back.
Young man?
Yep.
I'm having terrible head pains in this damn mask.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Would you mind if I told you that you had a much smaller head than mine?
No.
I would be seriously obliged if...
If you would swap your mask with mine. You know, we're wearing identical penguin suits. That might be quite amusing.
Why not?
Shake on it.
Just one dance, Monsieur Tinker. I know what a terrible dancer you are.
Right?
I have no doubt you're the clumsiest dancer I've ever met.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, now you put one foot there. No, not on my toe.
Beg pardon, ma'am.
And you lead with this arm. Dongo, come with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, monsieur, I think you look very dashing as the man in the iron mask.
Thank you.
And I take back everything I said about your dancing. In fact, it is much improved.
Really?
Do you realize we're just one night and one day from Algiers, my Algiers, where Hyacinthe was born? I don't expect you to believe me, but did you know that my husband was second secretary in the Algerian consulate? Oh, yes, he came from one of the oldest families in the city. Oh, how I loved him. But, of course, that's not what you want to hear, is it? Mm. And, sadly, he deserted me. I was alone in a strange North African city with a young child. Oh, but what is the use of telling you that? To you is just another fable, I suppose. I come back to Algiers with a torn heart. I was happy there once. And I was more unhappy there than I ever believed possible. Could you understand that, monsieur? No, I don't think so. The American in you has so little time for that deep ache, wanting to go back, but hating to go back at the same time. Oh, and the places beyond the city limits, where you no longer smell the sea and the oil from the port. To avoid the stifling heat, we used to take the old Roman road south of Algiers. It rises up into the mountains, and we stayed in the ancient fort of Siti Ogba. The terrace was lined with palm trees, and we plucked figs from our windowsill. Then we'd go on into the wilderness, just like the Romans. The Romans heard the muezzin call to the faithful 5 times a day from the minaret. And though they turned and marched towards the Sahara, they did not bother to extend their wonderful road, as if they knew in their hearts the desert was too vast, even for Caesar. There is a wadi at Alcantara, and that is where the Romans halted, where my husband and I stopped. Camels drink at one pool, humans at another. There are only small mud huts. At night, to keep cool, you leave the doors wide open in the hope of whatever breeze you can find. And in the morning, in front of you, is the great Sahara. Each wave of sand alters its shape overnight. You see, the desert is never the same. And yet, it is always the same. That is where the Romans halted in dismay. And I and my husband had our final farewell. There was nowhere further to go. Goodness me, monsieur, and you still sit there in that iron mask. Take it off at once. You must be boiled.
Madame, I ask you not to be shocked, but...
It's me, Lawrence.
Oh,
Mr. Tinker was in pain from this mask, and he asked me to exchange with him. Please forgive me if I've offended you.
Oh, no, no!
The Plutocrat was based on the novel by Booth Tarkington, adapted for radio by Michael Hastings. Here is the cast. Lawrence Ogle was played by Alan Cox. Aurélie de Momoro, Leslie Caron. Hyacinthe, her son, François Xavier Noah. Earl Tinker, Stacy Keach. Honey, his wife, Elizabeth McGovern. Olivia, their daughter, Rachel Pickup. George Macklin, Jasper Britton. T.H. Smith, Oliver Cotton. Charlie Waxtell, David Collings. Doc Taylor, James Ellis.
This video was uploaded to the channel Thinking Out Louder. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the Thinking Out Louder channel. Thank you.
Leslie Caron, Stacy Keach, and Elizabeth McGovern in The Plutocrat, based on the novel by Booth Tarkington. Adapted for radio by Michael Hastings. The Plutocrat. Part 2. The Last of the Romans.
Algiers is an intoxicating circus of dust and noise. We had sailed here together on the SS Dumvir from the cold New York winter of 1926 to the blazing shores of North Africa. Myself, Lawrence Ogle, debutante playwright, the good old boys' poker school, George Macklin, the poet published at his own expense, and the Tinker family, notably the Royal Earl, lavatory paper magnate from Illinois. Making up the party, with her confusing son, Hyacinthe, is Madame Aurélie Saint-Denis de Momoreau. I'm intoxicated by her perfume as I tell you all this. You see, I'm sick with love for Madame Momoreau. There is something about her elusiveness I cannot yet grasp.
Why did you do that? I want to know why you played that trick on me. Why did you give your mask to young Laurence? I could have said anything to him. I could have made a complete fool of myself. I was under the impression I was talking to you. Oh, I could have revealed almost anything about our relationship on the boat. How could you do that?
I don't care a hoot in hell if you spilled the beans. I'd have been happy if that writer fellow found out you belonged to me. He's gotten too close to you.
Oh, what hurts me most is you let me fall into the trap. As if you do not trust me, as if...
I don't trust anyone.
Well, the deal was, the affair was our great secret.
Deal? I don't know any deal.
No one knows. No one shall ever know. We are so different from each other, nobody would ever believe it anyway. And that is how it should be. No hurt, no damage to others, no cost.
Everything costs somebody, madame.
I think you wanted to test me. You wanted to know if I could be trusted. Well, that isn't good enough for me. Why should you want to trust me? Do I trust you?
Have you seen Earl? My daughter and I must find my husband, Mr. Tinker. There are motor cars ordered, hotels have been booked, half the passengers have already left the ship.
Have you seen Earl?
Oh, I'm not hiding her hair.
We're going to have a glorious week on the best golf course in town.
Put all that gold stuff on one trolley.
Goodbye, Mrs. Tinker. Miss Tinker.
Mother, have you ever thought of just leaving Daddy wherever he is and getting on with your own life?
I couldn't do that.
Madame de Momoreau, when we first met, we recognized each other. And behind all that French la-di-da and that accent, which makes a man drop his pants, there isn't a man you will not cheat and rob to get what you want. Well, it just so happens I'm the same. But I do it strictly for business.
So do I, monsieur.
No. You like to think it's okay because you do it in style. I mean, everybody knows I'm a pig from Illinois, but you have a sense of the superior, as if you deserve better. Well, let me assure you, madame, we walk in the same ditch.
Have you quite finished?
Yes.
I still charm you?
Yes.
Even though, when our affair is over, we will walk past each other in this ditch of yours, with not a hint of recognition, as a part of distant galaxies.
Even though...
Oh, that is a hard way.
Yes.
Well, I'm packed and ready. Now I must say something to my son. And then I must find my young American playwright. After that, we'll go on with our adventure. For however long it lasts, for whatever it brings us.
Well, lead on, madame. To whatever.
Are you the driver of our car?
I am, mistress.
Well, I have lost my husband again. You are required to take us up the mountains to the hotel in the old fort at Sidi Okba. Do you know the way?
Mother, please.
You don't know how to talk to these cabbies. I do. How do you know the way, my man?
There is only one road there, mistress.
For pity's sake, then, let's go. Oh, God, what does Sinbad want?
Is Madame Tinker still looking for her husband?
I certainly am. Why?
Monsieur Tinker has already left for Sidi Okba. He asked me to tell you he will meet you there tonight. And please, to bring his choking medicine.
You mean his cough medicine. Thank you. I'm most sincerely obliged. Otherwise, we could have spent all day on this dock.
Olivia?
Yes, and?
You still deviating of me?
Oh, never stopped for a moment.
That's why I like to hear. Chin chin.
Sidi Okba, driver.
It's kind of you to give me a lift.
Well, it's the least I can do. I love being with you. I value your friendship above all else.
Only friendship.
Oh, you are incorrigible, you know. Get in.
Does this mean we're going to travel together all the way to the edge of the desert?
Of course. If you would like to come that far with me.
That's a coy assumption.
I don't understand.
No, I'll go anywhere to be with you.
Then why get so cross with me?
Because I don't know where I stand. I live each day for just a word from you.
Much too intense.
And yet you simply disappear from a room or nobody can find you. And if I ask about for you, others look round with a kind of pity as if...
As if? Go on.
As if I'm a poor fool who hasn't understood the rules. What are the rules?
Oh, would you say we look a little inappropriate together?
No.
I look like a rich widow walking out with a young artist of genius. And therein lies the difficulty. I'm not rich. And one play on Broadway does not make you a genius.
It is what I feel within. And yet, there is not one kiss between us, not a moment when you lean against my shoulder or some gesture which says I am yours. So I quietly die here, standing on your shadow, inhaling this deep perfume you wear, which is like no other.
Well, perhaps inappropriate is a cruel word. I mean, I cannot undress myself for 20 years. Neither can you pretend you are twice your age. It's nothing to get angry about. It's a matter of great sadness. Oh, yes, I can imagine moments when we do all those things you want. But have you considered? I have already had these moments. And they cannot be the bright passion you so urgently want.
We'll accept that.
You fight because you're young.
Marry me.
Oh, absolutely not.
Be my mistress.
You cannot afford that. You have no idea what mistresses cost in New York.
Make love to me for one night. With the utmost discretion. With not one string attached. Anywhere you choose. Under the stars, in a tent, back of a car. And we'll just call it a day lost in our lives and no more. And walk away.
Oh, Laurel.
1 hour.
Oh, please.
10 minutes of your time in the eternity of the universe. What is that to ask?
Stop it now. You bring it down to some level like a... like a muscular spasm between two microbes. You become vulgar. Driver, slow down the car, please. You see those two camels with the Arab boy? You stop by them, please. Thank you.
What is this? Are you throwing me out of the car?
This is as far as we go. I must go on alone. There are people waiting for me. And it is for the benefit of my son.
By camel?
There are plenty of places out here where no car can reach. I have to go down through that pass.
I don't wish to sound stupid, but why do you need two camels?
Well, just in case one of them breaks down. Now, you go on ahead to the hotel. I cannot say when I'll be back. Oh, be sure to send my luggage to my room. And can I ask you one favor? my dear Laurence, my friend. I ask you to tell no one. I took this detour, you will promise?
Very well.
Let me help you, sir. No. Now, you must look where you go. Here, hold on to me and my daughter here. Now, this is our table on the terrace. Why don't you sit with us? Is there something wrong with your legs? Are you blind or something? Is that it? Will you park your grand old self on this chair with us? I am Mrs. Tinker, wife of the well-known Earl Tinker from Illinois, and this is my daughter, Olivia. I call her Livy. What do you want from my menu, distinguished sir? And the wines here.
A glass of water.
One glass of honest water for my guest here. Anyone?
And what's your label, sir?
I'm Sir William Weatherite, ma'am, and I'm consul designate for the Kabylie territory. I'm half blind and I have difficulty walking. I thank you for your assistance.
That's what I said to my daughter here when I saw you fall out of your car. I said, that old gent is a half-blind cripple or I'm a flying duck.
Little lady from France, are you absolutely sure I have to lay down on this rock here and eat a sheep's eye?
These tribesmen once came to my rescue. My husband brought me to this place on the flimsy excuse. A warrior tribe came along and demanded my son. They were about to steal him. My husband ran off into the night, leaving me with a boy. Oh, I fought like a witch, but they had guns. Just in time, these Kabylie tribesmen came and saved us.
I don't believe a word of it.
Oh, I knew you'd say that. Even if some of my stories are a little short in the truth, well, they may not be strictly accurate. They may not have occurred in that precise order. Oh, but they did happen.
All this is leading up to something big I feel in my wallet.
I want you to know how much my son means to me.
Listen, I thought we were going to do, do cushions under the stars tonight.
I do not have cushions with me.
And I've never done it before in front of 50 tribesmen and their camels. I tried. Damn did I try, you know? Back in their marketplace, I showered them with dollar bills, but they insisted on coming out here. Now,
Later, monsieur. In a day or two, we'll be moving down the mountainside. We can go on to El Cantara. Oh, that is a magic place. Roman ruins, strange, exotic plants. As if the earth is saying, this is the last of man before the mighty sea of the Sahara. Make love to me there. Make love to me in the shadows of ancient Caesars and broken dreams.
I'm dreaming. I saw two camels pass by.
A camel will go all night and all day.
I don't know why, but when I see camels, I think of my husband, Mr. Tinker. Who I can't find, no matter where I look. Mr. Tinker just takes off into the nowhere without a word. And I'm always left holding his cough mixtures.
I was out this afternoon in the Kabylie territory. There was an American out there with the tribesmen.
What did he look like?
Oh, my eyes are so bad, I'm afraid, but I heard him. He was throwing mounds of American dollars at the tribes when he was tossing the dollars up in the air as if he was printing the damn thing.
That sounds like my Mr. Tinker. I'm absolutely sure he'd be trying out some deal or other and coming a terrible cropper, and he'll end up somewhere God knows where when he's doing business.
I think he was with a lady.
Earl never goes anywhere with the opposite sex except for me, his wife.
Well, I didn't stay long, but there was a lady, but she had quite a French accent, you know.
A tall French lady with a big broad hat and stuff.
She wore a very powerful scent, I know that.
That's Madame de What's-Her-Face. That's the mysterious honeypot who's been available to any passenger with a penny in his pocket. This I will not stand for. This is what I dread about foreign parts.
If you will calm down, Mother. I'm certain Lawrence went off this morning in the French dame's car.
It can't be Daddy. We'll see about that right this minute. Where is the playwright's room?
Help me, Laurence.
What is it?
Mrs. Tinker is on her way to you. You have been in Kabylie with a tribesman. You have eaten couscous and been drinking milk with them. And you came back by camel with me.
Yes, all right, but why?
Oh, don't ask questions now.
Wait.
Lawrence?
Mrs. Tinker, what a surprise. And Miss Tinker?
Cut the crap. I believe you were out somewhere with the natives this afternoon. May I ask if this is true?
Yes. I was out on the Kabylie territory.
And you didn't by chance see my husband, Mr. Tinker?
Good heavens, no.
And may I ask who you were with, young man?
I was with a friend.
A French friend?
Matter of fact, I was with Madame de Montmoreau. What is this all about?
I do apologize for this, son. It's my nerves getting me down. Tell us, silly old American woman, what you were doing out there with these Indians, whatever?
Tribesmen. We had a splendid time with them, all in the course of research for a new play.
I understand you threw piles of dollar bills at them?
What?
And did a fair bit of shouting by the sound of it?
Well, you have to shout a bit to get their attention. As for the money...
Showering them in dollar bills.
Well, that's an exaggeration. I'm very careful with my money. But when it comes to research, one has to dig deep.
And then what happened?
Well, the tribesmen invited us to have a meal with them. Couscous.
What is couscous?
Oh, it's slimy stuff, and you dip your fingers in, and there's strange green bits and black bits and the odd sheep's eye.
Went down quite well, did it, the odd sheep's eye?
And afterwards we drank together, and the tribesmen sang old fraternity songs.
Fraternity songs?
You know what I mean. Old songs of the early days. And we drank a lot of camel's milk.
Lawrence, even I know nobody drinks camel's milk.
Well, perhaps they were goats. Very large goats. I could be mistaken in the dark. Long-legged large goat's milk it was. That was it. Why all these questions?
Mother is highly distraught tonight. Daddy has gone off again without telling her. She thinks something terrible has happened to him, and she grabs any clue she can get. I'm so sorry if you think I'm rude.
Oh, that's all right. Quite fond of your rudeness by now.
Mother, please excuse us. Lawrence. Good morning, Lawrence. Can I come in?
No. You are always rude, and it's too early for that.
You've got a cable from New York. The concierge gave it me.
Oh, no. My God.
Dear Lawrence, box office receipts collapsed. Stop. Your play closes next week. Stop. Have given the company 10 days notice. Stop. That's Broadway for you, kid. Stop. Signed, the general manager, John Golden Theater.
I'm broke. I borrowed from the bank against a full season's run. When I get back, I won't have a dime.
The pastoral scene by Lawrence Ogle.
That's my baby.
I starred at the John Golden. I loved it.
You saw the play?
These two lovers break all convention. They tread all over people and run off because they're in love. It was wonderful.
You amaze me.
Look, I want you to know, I believe you weren't out there last night with that French lady. I don't care what you tell Mother, but I know you weren't there. You covered up for her, and I admire you for that.
I'm confused.
See, I'm rude because I'm angry. I hate the lies and the self-delusion in my family. I'm angry because I know what a monster my daddy is. Everything he says you must take at least 4 knots away. He may be a millionaire on paper, but he owes 5 times that. You think you're broke.
Gee.
He's basically a lovable monster. I don't want you to think he's evil. He buys almost anything he fancies, and there's a line of folk out there who always want something from him. When people ask him for money, Daddy sees the dreams they have. He even buys the dream first, even if it is a hopeless delusion. I'm sorry about your play. Lawrence, I'm rude as a pig to you because you don't look at me. All you see is the daughter of this gross family from Illinois. I'm the rude girl because, well, I love you to bits. And if you want, I'd marry you without you even asking.
Does that explain why you kick me every time we sit at table?
Well, even after we're married, I still might kick you.
Come in. I think I'd better sit down. Feeling distinctly weird.
Now, Sir William, I want you to come along with me to the next port of call, where we'll surely find my Mr. Tinker. He knows the runes in the book.
I may be a blind cripple, as you so quaintly put it, but as the British consul, I can tell you I know every inch of my territory. I'll find your husband for you.
My bill, please.
Your bill has been paid already. Another American come here early, paying cash. He was tall, like you. He had a very loud voice.
Some mistake, sir? Where is the gentleman now?
Suddenly, he disappeared.
I shall not ask you what you were doing with that Bulgarian Earl Tinker, eating sheep's eyes and riding about on camels.
But you're dying to know.
I feel I've been used. Perhaps your son has an explanation.
Everything my mama does is benefit me, and there is no best mama than that.
I bumped into Monsieur Tinker, and I helped translate a few words with the tribesmen. And that is all there is to it. Oh, but a woman alone like me will always cause unseemly gossip. That is why I needed your help.
You needed me to lie for you.
Well, what is a small embroidery for a few minutes in the eternity of the universe? Let us look ahead now. I will show you the last civilized outpost before we reach the desert. El Kantara. No electricity, no stock market, no theater critics, just the human basics. And if we get along there, we can survive anything together. Come with me, dogs. This is our adventure. Yours and mine.
Now my husband, Mr. Tinker, is determined to see where the Sahara begins. So he's booked rooms ahead in some last forgotten place. And I must go there because he's relying on me being there. I have his medicine chest, you know, and it can only be some business deal or other which keeps him incognito. El Kantara. You've heard of El Kantara, Sir William?
It's a terrible place. It's a waterhole and some shacks which they have the nerve to rent out.
The place was nothing like what I'd been threatened with. El Kantara had neat little white cottages around a square yard with a tiny fountain. Dogs hung around the yard for scraps. A kind of sandfly bites at my ankles. But the cottages have pretty bougainvillea and winter ivy. The doors were always kept wide open to claim the merest breeze. But if you blinked, you could imagine this was the Hollywood Hills in Los Angeles. And any moment Clara Bow might rush out in boots and white shirt and riding crop and climb on the nearest camel. Just outside as we drove in, I could see the place of the Roman ruins. The final redoubt of an empire as it reached almost the shores of the great desert. A doomed army paused here, built an entire Roman citadel. The ultimate conceit. Arab caravans never stopped there. It was buried by the indifference of the sand.
Driver, stop the car, please.
Arrêtez.
Now, what is it this time?
This is where I leave you. Please go on to El Kantara. Yes, Saint, arrange for our trunks to be placed in a cottage.
Oui, maman.
But there's nothing here.
Oh, I won't have far to go.
No camels waiting this time.
That is frankly unpleasant.
Any last-minute requests for me to tell lies?
Bitterness is an early fruit, my friend.
Give me a clue, then. Don't keep me in suspense.
It is important I see an old acquaintance from the Algiers Museum.
I don't have to believe you.
Alas, I don't think you have much choice.
Well, let me come with you.
Why? Do you think you will understand me better by following after me like a terrier dog anglais?
I can be of assistance. I can help.
Oh, will it make you feel more manly to guide me over rocks? Do not become that animal, that jealous, possessive, panicked creature, so focused on me and no other, until I'm in a prison and there's no escape. I do not want you to follow me. Goodbye for the moment. Perhaps tomorrow, a picnic or a walk through the village, but not today.
Aurélie, listen to me.
No.
Driver, allez. Au revoir, maman. Driver, let's go.
Now, those old broken pillars and things I can see in the distance. They must be some kind of new real estate left half-finished. Why don't folk finish what they start building around these parts? Who are the builders involved over there?
The Romans, Mrs. Tinker.
I'll remind Earl Tinker when I see him, do not, absolutely do not, do deals with the firm of Romans.
This is my old friend, Dr. Medjila, from Algiers.
Well, I'm pleased to shake the hand of Dr. Medjila, sir. Earl Tinker from Illinois.
Dr. D.G.N. Medjila.
That's right, sir.
I am number three in the city archaeology department, and I have been superintendent of this site for 10 years.
Oh, so what are you doing here?
Digging.
Just digging?
And measuring.
Measuring?
And mapping disturbed stonework.
What, you've been sitting out here all this time doing that? Don't it get to you sometimes?
You must remember, this is more than just ruins where an army once camped. There is something magnetic about this place.
Well, it sounds very modern.
Other illustrious personages are said to have been here. After the Romans came St. Augustine, it is said.
Oh, well, who'd you say he was?
The great religious authority of the 4th century.
Oh, preacher, I expect. Just like my old daddy himself. He was an old-time Presbyterian. You know, my old daddy once said to me, he said, why, son, why do you believe in God? And I said straightway, sir, if you believe, you have a chance. And if you don't, well, then you lengthen your odds. So that when you get to heaven and St. Peter at the gate says, did you believe? And you say, no, I didn't. Well, he's going to slam that portal door and say, well, forget it, son. No short straws allowed in here.
Ah, yes. I had not thought of that metaphysical persuasion.
Hmm. Yeah, what's it all about? I mean, we're talking about everything. The mountains and the ocean and the desert and all these Arabs and Frenchies. But I'm talking about the whole posse. The whole damn kit and caboodle. So what's the object? You know, it's like this in Illinois. I mean, the Almighty don't care a nickel about anything except us making progress. It's this, well, the somewhere we're going to and got to go if we don't want to get wiped out. It's like tomorrow. And when we get there, we aren't there. So we got to keep going. And we got to everlastingly and eternally keep going and going fast. Well, it's grand to meet a fellow Christian, Doc.
I am a Mohammedan.
Of course you are. I'm just testing you there, Doc.
Oh, hello, young man. I'm Sir William Weatherite, Her Majesty's British Consul to these parts.
Oh, how are you, sir?
And I believe it was you I saw in the Kabylie marketplace with the local tribes and fellas.
Possibly, yes.
And you were with the French lady with the big-brimmed hat.
I am led to believe that was me, sir, yes.
Well, you know, if I could have caught up with you, my legs, you know, I need crutches nowadays, and my eyesight is failing. I almost charged up and congratulated you on having such a handsome young mother.
Excuse me, Sir William. I think you confused me with another. Thank you, sir, and good day.
I knew this charming friend of yours when she came to me for help, came running to my tent years ago with her young son tied to her back.
Sounds like a dramatic encounter.
Perhaps one day Aurélie will tell you the whole story.
I brought Monsieur Tinker here because I wanted him to see this strange and magical place.
Well, as you know, this was a final place of confrontation between great adversaries.
Well, tell me something, Doc. How do you know what you have here?
Romans built to a formula. This is an outpost citadel. There is an amphitheater and a temple to Venus, their goddess of love, which I have restored. But, alas, all is sad here.
Sad? How's that?
The Algiers Antiquities Society can no longer afford me here. The government does not know what to do with the place.
Well, sell it, of course.
Goodness mercy.
Yeah, listen, I'll buy it. I'll buy the whole damn store. Yeah, the whole damn city. I mean, you told me it was a city, didn't you? Well, listen, I'll ship the whole thing back to Illinois. I know the very place to dump it on. Yeah, folks can see they're a Roman way of life. I mean, this could be an attraction. I could rope it off with railings and create a zoo effect. Let lions roam among the buildings like the days of the Christians and, what's his name?
Nero?
Yeah, yeah, that's the fellow that's mad as a cut snake.
My dear sir, this is an ancient building. It would be a great task to persuade the government to sell the actual stones. You would have to go to the very top, even perhaps to His Excellency, the Bey of Tunis himself.
Who?
The Bey of Tunis.
Well, if the Bey knows the meaning of a buck, he'll do business. Hey, you know, suddenly I'm fired up. Suddenly I see what this could be. I mean, the first authentic Roman city. Yep, we'll slap down beside the zoo in my hometown with genuine lions looking at the Christians. That'll get those Seventh-day Adventists quaking in their sandals. Oh, God, I am so fired up. Where do I meet your Bey of Tuna?
I see him sometimes on the city beach. He rides alone on a white horse and charges through the shallows. He wears a fez made of spun gold. He holds a black scimitar in his hand. Only the bravest go near him.
He do movies as well?
Hello.
I'm writing.
Go right ahead.
What do you want, Olivia?
Would you mind if I was nice to you? You know, like pretending to be nice people stuff?
Unusual, but possible.
I can be nice people. When I'm nasty to these other folk, it's because I'm angry. But with you, it's different.
I prefer you nasty. Then I know exactly where I stand.
What are you writing there?
It's nothing to do with you.
I know what it is. Jotting down all your feelings for that Madame de Fleuze with the big hat. And nothing, not spit about me. It's this kind of sickness you got for her. She gets you like a disease of the brain and things grow flaky behind your ears.
That didn't last long, being nice people. How long was that, let's say, 24 seconds?
I don't want to start making love to you whilst you hanker after her like a lame dog.
Olivia.
And what I mean by lovemaking is not the grotesque things she goes in for. I mean, holding hands, looking for mitts in each other's hair, sharing the same bubble gum. We have to do all those things before we stick tongues down our throats. You know what I mean?
Getting the idea.
You cannot believe a word she says. She's older than your own mother. And that perfume she wears is sugar water and snake's piss.
That is a complete assault on an elegant woman's reputation, with no evidence to back it up except for your uncouth jealousy. And if you want to know what I'm writing here, it is a detailed analysis of your most morbid traits.
Lots of hate and anger about this nasty girl you can't get out of your mind.
Unfortunately, yes.
Do you hate me?
Unfortunately, yes.
And you can't get me out of your head?
Correct.
Oh, Lawrence, I'm so impressed. Now, look it. Until you find out that Madame de Momoro is no lady, you will never get to base with me. And I'm going to prove it to you.
Can we bring this uncivil declaration of war between us to a close? I'm feeling distinctly unwell.
Anything you say, lover.
Bateaux qui vont sur l'eau ont-ils des ailes? Mais oui, mon gros bétail.
Yes, I...
Non,
bah... Did I startle
you? No, not at all.
What is it?
Please, please, not come any closer.
Why ever not?
I'm not for punching in front.
Now, yes, Sand, why would I do a thing like that?
Oh, I can think of many reasons.
Oh, my Sinbad with curly toes, my old pal with his ring in his ear, you're my best friend.
Oh, now Brian is doing very deep suspicions.
Where is your mama?
I do not have the ID.
That is a lie.
It is.
You are a complete coward.
I am.
And you don't want to punch in the throat?
I do not.
So where is she?
I am sworn to silence over the bones of my ancestors, never to say where my mother goes.
Yes, Aunt.
Oh, all right. All right, I'll tell you.
Yes, Aunt. I want you to do me a favor.
Yes, Aunt, where are you taking me?
Shh. Please, watch.
This temple devoted to Venus is perhaps 2,000 years old. It was a ruin until Dr. Midgila rebuilt it.
There's something here.
Oh, that is the altar where they lay down and anointed one another in the name of love.
But what are we doing here when we could find a decent bed someplace?
My first husband came out to the desert with me and my little boy. I think he wanted to kill us. He turned and hit me. And then he turned on Yassant, and I said, run! My husband wanted to bury us out here among the stones. I escaped in the dark, and Dr. Majilla took me in like a father.
Well, why didn't you divorce the guy and take him to the cleaners?
Well, his family has too much power. I'd be murdered if I approached the courts. Now, lie down, monsieur.
On this?
You feel my hands?
I do.
Lovers who had been tormented and abused used this altar to rub oil on themselves as if they could smooth away the bruises and the battered lives they'd led. And then they prayed together to love. And then...
You can see?
Yeah.
I'm ashamed. I dare not look.
She's taken his shirt and the rest of his clothes off. He's lying on the stone like a kind of beached whale. Now, she's taken some bottle or stuff and she's covering him with liquid. It's oil, I guess.
You want to leave now?
No.
You're shocked.
I don't think so.
You like?
Yes, I like, French lady.
My son means my life to me. I have fought for his life. Now the odds are too great. My husband's sisters, two of the wickedest women in Algiers, will take Yassant away from me. And I will never see him again unless... Are you feeling warm and alive in every pore?
I am.
Unless I pay them the dowry my husband never received when we married. You see, my father was never a rich man.
No? I think I hear a small business matter approaching.
My love, my larger-than-life American, is this calming your body, licking away wounds on your body?
Well, I guess it is, but...
Unless I give the witches the sum of 100,000 francs... Well, that is a mere $24,000 in your money. Before our boat sails, Yassant will be lost to me forever. Oh, I am desperate, my darling. I'm a mad woman on the edge of a precipice.
What is transpire, please?
She's taken all his clothes off. Now she's taking hers off.
I cannot look.
The chairman of Illinois and Union Paper Company and Allied Products is lying, stark naked, covered in oil, on an altar to the goddess Venus. And your mother is climbing up beside him. Close your eyes, Yassant.
We are one of a kind, Monsieur Tinker. We fight to the death to keep alive.
Oh, that's the way, madame.
We lie under the stars in this warm night. And we are thrown together for an instant in eternity's womb.
Oh, like that. Right. Just there.
Make love to me.
I'm doing the best I can, lady.
Oh, make love to me.
Making love.
And the $24,000?
Well, I don't happen to have it on my person right now, but...
I have spread my life and my body at your feet, monsieur.
Have the money. Have anything you want, madame. You know, I can't believe a word you say. I can't believe that I'm on this rock covered in lantern grease. No one will believe it back home. But I can assure you, you are giving me the ride of my life.
Make love!
I'm doing my damnedest here, lady.
Where is my husband, Mr. Earl Tinker? Midwest industrialist. Last seen on the SS Doomvir, first class cabin. He's out on his business deals and I can never keep up with him.
Mother, come inside.
Make love as if it is the first time and the last time of our lives together.
My friend Lawrence... Those are tears. You are crying long, silent tears.
Am I?
Oh, yeah, we should go now. Please.
Come on, Lorenz, come.
This is all I do. Back and follow, back and follow, back and follow. Sometimes I don't know if my husband has gone on ahead or if he's trailing somewhere behind.
May I introduce myself, madam? I'm the British consul for the territory, Sir William...
Oh, but I do know who you are, monsieur. I've known of you for a long time, and it is a distinguished career.
Thank you. Now, madam, can you explain what we're doing driving to this wretched wadi, whatever? What's there, I ask you?
It is where the Sahara begins. Haven't you ever seen it?
It's nothing but sand.
Oh, it is a great sea, as wide as the Atlantic, and perhaps as deep.
Pleasant evening last night, Laurent?
Oh, yes. There's a few bites around the ankles. How about you?
I spent some time looking up at the stars, and for the first time, I felt an utter calm.
Really?
Goodness gracious. Will you look out there? There is nothing but sand. And whose tent is that?
Yours, Mama.
Uh-huh. When your daddy arrives, he will say he cannot possibly sleep in that. Daddy only sleeps in hotel rooms.
My dear lady, I still don't know why you've come to this wretched place.
Well, the ship's captain recommended we see the desert. My husband insisted we take this particular journey. And Mr. Tinker always has a good reason for everything.
Stop the car, please. It is not so very far now. We'll walk the rest of the way. Yes, and set up our tent on the wadi.
Oui, maman.
There is a path I can take where I will see the desert stretch out before me. Oh, it is a wonderful experience.
By all means.
What? You're not going to shout at me, there's nothing but sand, or why can't I come too?
Madame de Marmerot, I am quite sure you no longer need me as your walker. If you want to cross the desert and fill your boots with sand, feel quite free.
Oh, well, yes, I will.
Allez, Abdul.
It wouldn't be too difficult to drop your sand down this well. And who'd miss him?
I am glad you're here.
I thought you'd be.
No, seriously. I've come to my senses. It was you all the time I was looking at.
Liar.
I can think of nothing better than becoming a member of the illustrious Tinker family.
Nonsense. You think we're a bunch of pigs.
Maybe I can bring culture and fine arts to you all.
And you can be quite a prig.
Marry me.
Well, all right, but at the right moment.
That was a quick decision.
I knew the answer before you asked.
You did?
Yes.
And what happens before we get to the right moment?
Canoodle comes first, the aisle second. A girl likes to get busy in the back of a car, maybe some wicked things with our clothes fully on, stuff like that. Then the society wedding of the year, and then I guess it all stops.
If there's one thing I can rely on, it's your sense of romance.
Looks like the loneliest place on earth.
I wanted you to meet me here. Walk with me.
What now?
That man I married, the father of my son, he tried to murder us both on this very spot. Oh, but he'd been seen. There were witnesses. And he was so angry. He led us here and told me his family would destroy me and take my son forever. I laughed at him. I said he was mad. And I think I was nearer the truth than I knew. He called me a whore. He said Yassant, his only son, would become a street prostitute. And then he stopped suddenly. He drew out a revolver and emptied the gun towards us, but we weren't hit. As if at the last moment he couldn't do the deed. Then he tossed the gun in the sand where we lay hugging each other. Then he walked straight out into the endless sand. I screamed at him. Never once looked back. The hills of sand leaned over him like an envelope. And I never saw him again.
Is that it?
I wanted you to see where my life ended, my dreams, my hopes for the boy's future.
But is that really the truth?
Oh, how can you possibly say such a thing to me after what we've shared since...
No, 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 don't get me wrong. I'm 100% with you, but there are minions who might not be.
Is it any less true than those rabbits of yours?
Rabbits?
Yes, the rabbits you took money from the other boys for.
Oh, those rabbits.
And if one day God asks you which made you the most money ever, those rabbits or the entire majesty of Illinois and Union toilet paper...
Newspaper.
Doesn't matter, Hoot. What would your answer be to God? Tell me, my love, it is important.
Well, the rabbits.
You ask me if this is the absolute truth. Well, it is the truth in my experience, as I understand it. And that is enough, I believe, for any man. Must I show you a photograph? Are there witnesses you need? Am I on trial for exposing to you the core of my being? Does it matter in the face of an implacable universe if a word is the odd centimeter out? When I tell you something like this, you must know what I mean. I am Aurélie Saint-Denis de Montmoreau, and I've put myself as naked in your arms as the day I was born, and no true souls can do more.
I believe you wanted $24,000. It's a certified check. Any bank will cash it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, but no, no, thank you, sir.
What?
I absolutely refuse to be tainted with money.
You do?
I will not touch your money.
But my dear French lady, our entire relationship from the first day on the boat...
I will not touch it.
Oh, but please, listen, please. I want you to have it. For your son's studies or for paying back what you owe. Otherwise, terrible events will happen to you. Madame, I am a poor, simple soul. Money is all I have to offer you, my love, and you know that.
Oh, very well. I will only take it on the strict understanding that you believe every word of my story.
Well, I can't believe them all, Aurélie.
Very well, then.
You refuse to take the money?
I do.
Madame, I've nothing else to offer you. I can't understand why you're turning me down like this. What else can I do?
Well, let us see. You could believe in just a few words.
A few?
Oh, yes.
Then you'll take the money?
Yes.
Done. Now, you'll take the money.
Under duress, monsieur.
I beg you, take it.
I thank you.
Madame?
Monsieur Tinker, do you wish to do more things with my body?
Well, that's very kind of you, madame, but...
Well, we have no cushions. There isn't an altar to Venus, but we could find a spot in the desert.
Thank you, but no.
Monsieur Tinker?
No, this is where I must draw the line in the sand, lady.
Oh, I don't understand. We may never meet again.
Well, we'd only be fooling one another if we did.
Oh, it all ends here, then. Whatever we shared... It runs through our fingers and we have only memories.
Something like that, lady.
Oh, I am distraught.
No, come on now. Don't get like that again. It does highly painful things to me.
Oh, like what?
Well, I start to think all over. Maybe I haven't given you enough money now. And that is a very painful thought. It hits me right where it hurts most.
Oh, well, we can't have that.
No. I'll tell you what, French lady. I'll buy you this whole damn thing you got here.
Buy what?
I'll buy you the whole damn chute. All of it, as far as you can see.
Oh, you'll buy me the Sahara Desert?
I will indeed. Just bring me face to face with the principal title holder of this entire property.
Oh, well, I must say, this is the nicest gift I've ever been made.
And I mean every word of it.
Oh, I know you do.
Will you take it with you?
Oh, I will.
That's the spirit, ma'am. I think my transport awaits.
Yes, of course.
Goodbye, Madame de Montmoreau.
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 Goodbye, Monsieur Tinker.
Bye.
Mrs. Tinker.
Don't mind me, son. I've been out on watch all night.
But why?
Well, a tent just don't seem a fitting place for me and my husband.
Where is Mr. Tinker?
He's coming on home now. I can feel it in my bones. That's why I'm sat up, waiting. You may think it strange I am as I am. You may know more about what Earl gets up to than me, but he always comes back. He's found someone to do a deal with. And he comes back richer or poorer. I don't mind spit, because I know he always comes back to me. We have a good, healthy quarrel. I get him his medicines, and we settle down. You think that's stupid? Think I give him too much rope? The first rule of the theory of forgetting is, give enough. You give enough, you get enough back. Sometimes it hurts. And I may sound like a silly woman about to fall off her perch. But it works.
Mrs. Tinker, I am very keen to talk to you and your husband about your daughter.
What did I tell you?
Excuse me?
You see that cloud of sand rising?
Oh, yes.
Any money you like. That's my Earl. He's tied a handkerchief round his mouth, and he's hanging on for dear life to the saddle of one of those things you call big goats. Well, here he comes. Wherever he's been, whatever, it's my Earl Tinker.
Good morning, Sir William.
Oh, hello.
May I speak with you?
Of course.
My driver's ready. I have decided to drive back to the coast immediately. I wonder if you'd like to accompany me.
I'd be delighted. But why me?
Well, you are an important man in this territory. A very successful man. And if you don't mind my saying so, you are a lonely man since Lady Wetherite died. In need of a great deal of care and concern.
You're very observant of you, madam.
My son has finished our packing, and I would like to get going before I disturb anybody else in our party. It is a long drive back.
Well, of course.
May I take your arm?
Oh, my dear lady.
Honey.
Who disturbs me?
It's Earl here, honeydew. Pet.
I'm asleep.
It's your loving husband, my angel.
Where in the hell have you been?
Well, these Arabic businessmen, they do tough deals. Oof, they last all night.
And what is that thing parked outside? I can smell it from here.
It's my camel, dearest.
Do you know what I've been through these days without you? It's boiling my buns off in the desert. It's freezing my toes off up there in the mountains. And now you have found something the odor of which can fell an entire platoon. That animal is a stinker.
Well, you know I always return, dear.
That may be so, but you can't leave me in the middle of nowhere and get away with it.
But I always have. That's how we conduct this marriage. Absence makes the heart grow.
For the sake of our daughter and for the sake of my own sanity, which is close to a wreck, I insist we have a quarrel.
What?
I want a full-blooded Main Street Chicago quarrel right here! Right this minute in front of everyone here!
What's the quarrel about, my love?
How do I know what it's about? It's just gotta be the damnedest, noisiest, let's go now quarrel we've
ever had! Good early, don't you think?
Yes, aunt, you sit in front with the driver.
Oui, très bien, maman.
You seem to know a lot about me.
Oh, I've always admired your true English nature, Sir William.
Oh, you are kind. Oh, please. Take my cushion.
Oh, thank you. I've often asked myself what it would be like to get to meet you. But, of course, I'm a very shy disposition, and... Oh, it isn't easy for a widow like myself to introduce herself back into society.
Oh, quite.
It has not been easy at all these past years for myself or my son. We were traveling in South Carolina when I met a strange man who claimed he owned an entire plantation and a great mansion house. But I took to him because he expressed such interest in my son's well-being. And we stayed in the great house with him for several days. Then amazing events overtook.
I got back to the ship for the return crossing in a strange mood. Yes, I'd had a kind of sickly crush for an older woman, wicked beyond my years. And I had been used by her. I was the decoy. Now,
I am in love. Quite unexpectedly with the most open and forthright being I have ever met. I am also broke.
I saw it, but... Oh.
Here come the golfers.
Mrs. Tinker, I tell you, there was more sand than clear weight, but we never stopped.
How do you mean, Mrs. Tinker? Where's Earl?
I have no idea where my husband is. He was here an hour ago, now he's vanished again. I wring my hands of him, I swear.
Sure,
Olivia, where'd you go?
Oh, somewhere up some silly mountains. What happened to you?
Found a beach, wrote poetry, thought about home.
And I'm secretly engaged to be married. It's a total secret. It's so secret the man barely knows it himself.
Who's the lucky fella? Not me by any chance, is it?
There was one person missing from the voyage back home. Two, if you include her exotic son. As each day passes, her absence will be less noted. The whispering curiosity will dwell on some other strange passenger. It is at night I'll remember the intoxication of her deep, musky perfume. And on deck in the bright morning, I'll still imagine I can step on her shadow as she watches the horizon and hope she doesn't know I'm there.
Well, would you look at that? Down there on the beach, there's a bearded Arab on a white horse with flowing white robes and a gold fez, some sort of cutlass in his hand.
What of it?
Like some movie star from Blood and Sand. Yeah. And there's someone else behind him on a white horse. It's a big, tall palooka. Looks none too safe in that saddle. And he's got up in the same gold fez and flowing robes. You see him, can you?
Riding clean away from us. He's in such a hurry, he's riding from hell.
Lord and mercy. That's my husband. Mr. Earl Tinker. Illinois and Union paper. And we sail in 15 minutes.
The Plutocrat was based on the novel by Booth Tarkington, adapted for radio by Michael Hastings. Here is the cast. Lawrence Ogle was played by Alan Cox. Aurélie de Momoro, Leslie Caron. Hyacinthe, her son, François Xavier Noah. Earl Tinker, Stacy Keach. Honey, his wife, Elizabeth McGovern. Olivia, their daughter, Rachel Pickup. George Macklin, Jasper Britton. T.H. Smith, Oliver Cotton. Charlie Waxtell, David Collings. Doc Taylor, James Ellis. Harold M. Wilson, Robert Oates. Sir William Weatherwright, John Standing.